So if you will, we are on the lesson on forgiveness, and I have tried to decide as to how much more I want to do with this. I can clean this up and start a new one, but I don't think I should. Let me go back to the first part of this thing, all right? When we talked about the forgiveness of sins, we talked about two kinds of guilt that people have. What is guilt? It's, why do people feel guilty? There are two reasons people feel guilty. Two reasons why people feel guilty. Number one, because they are. And number two, even if they're not, the wicked one accuses them and deceives them into thinking they are guilty when they're not. And so the guilt may be real, or it may be perceived and not be real at all. You may have confessed your sins, and the devil comes along and says, you're not forgiven. If you believe that lie, the result is guilt. Yeah? Yes? Okay. So we're talking about the forgiveness of sins. Two kinds of guilt we're dealing with, and that is perceived and real guilt. So forgiveness in and of itself does not solve the problem necessarily of guilt. When we believe the promise, that's when the problem of guilt is gone. Yes? You have to know the truth. Now, you can't believe the promise if you don't know what the promise means. Quote with me 1 John 1:9. Are you ready? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. True or false? True, what percentage of the time? 100% of the time. Does it ever fail? Now, confession is a statement of agreement. Have you got that in your notes? You got that in your notes? Confession is not begging for forgiveness. Oh, God, please forgive me. I'm so rotten. Forget that stuff. And by the way, let me give you a little insight here. All right? How do you know the difference? How do you know the difference between the conviction by the Holy Spirit and the accusations of the devil? How can you tell the difference between those two things? Condemnation. That's a good word. That'll capture a whole lot of this thing. Now, you're alert, right? Okay. The Holy Spirit always attacks the sin. The Holy Spirit always attacks the sin. And He says, look, there's no way you're going to justify this. This is wrong. Wrong. The Holy Spirit attacks the sin. The devil attacks the person. He said, he does it this way. Look at yourself. What a sorry Christian you are. You are a Christian? You really think God forgave you? You know what I'm talking about? You recognize that? So, what do? You have a statement of agreement. And the statement of agreement puts you on whose side? On God's side. And when you're on God's side, are you in fellowship or out of fellowship? You're in fellowship. All right? There's a statement of agreement. What do you do with this? Call the lie. Say, that is absolutely wicked. The Spirit of God never says, look at yourself. He always says, look at whom? Look at whom? The Lord Jesus. Look at the cross. Look at the blood. Don't look at yourself. If you start looking at yourself, you're in trouble. Yes or no? Right? You're in trouble if you start looking at yourself. Just look at yourself. Look at what you've done. You've blown it. Look at what all the mess you have created. Now that's not conviction. That's accusation. See, the conviction of the Holy Spirit results in encouragement. The accusations of the devil result in discouragement. Forgive my chicken scratching. So, you can tell the fruit of what's going on in your own heart as to the source of this thing. Does the Holy Spirit of God ever attack you? The Holy Spirit of God is the helper, not the herder. Yeah? Yeah. So what is the reward if it's a real bad sin? Well, the Holy Spirit of God is still the helper. He's not the herder. He points us to Christ and he says, look, get this straightened out. And the Holy Spirit of God produces faith. The devil creates unbelief. You're not forgiven. No way! Okay. So, this is basically forgiveness. We talked about the meaning of the word. It means you completely send something away. God lets it go, cuts it off from us forever. And we talked about that. Now let's go to the last page if we can. By the way, there was a question that came up. What time? What's my time schedule here? I'll have time to deal with that after this, I think. We already dealt with, probably a couple of months ago, the unpardonable sin. And he talks about the, and we're on page number 95. Are you there? Page 95. The unpardonable sin. And he talks about the reality. He talks about the forgiving grace of God being infinite. But there is a sin unto death, a blasphemy which shall not be forgiven unto man. An eternal sin means it lasts forever in its consequences. And there is an unpardonable sin. But the more I study that thing, the more I'm almost convinced that it's nearly impossible for anybody in our day and age to commit it. You have some words in Hebrews. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, that they fall away to renew them to repentance. You've read that verse. Most people say, well, that means you can lose your salvation. Well, if you read Hebrews right, and if you know the context of Hebrews right, where can I go with this? Okay, you are alert now. You're still alert. Okay. Do you know what was happening at Pentecost and in the days of the early church? There was the outpouring of the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit coming upon them, cloven tongues. There was the speaking in dialects, not unknown tongues, not gibberish, but known languages, known dialects they'd never learned. There were great miracles being performed. There were healings that were taking place. Yes, not one or two, but dozens of them. People would get in Peter's shadow and they'd be healed. People were bringing just handkerchiefs that Paul might touch them. They were being healed. What was God doing? What are the purposes of miracles? Just to satisfy curiosity and make people sit there and be amazed? God verifies and vindicates the message of the early church by these miracles. Jesus Christ himself was demonstrated to be Messiah by the powers, the signs, and the wonders that he performed. How were they to know the true Messiah? Nobody healed like he healed. Nobody did what he did in power and miracles. Nobody raised the dead but Jesus. Yes or no? And so when people saw that, how many of you have ever seen that? Your neighbors have never seen that. So when your neighbors say, I don't believe in him, they're not rejecting that kind of light. You understand what I just said? They're rejecting light, but not that kind of light. That is a very special supernatural light that comes from God in a unique way at a special time and in a special place. Okay? So, the unpardonable sin is spoken of to Pharisees and people like them who had, with their eyes, they had seen withered hands made whole and healthy. They had seen men who were lame from their mother's womb from birth. They saw them rise. Their legs were whole. They were strong, like a man in the prime of youth. They had seen sick people healed. They had seen dead people raised. A widow's son was given back in life to his mother. They had seen this with their eyes. And they were so set in rejecting the truth that they said that Jesus did this in the power of the devil. Now, in whose power had Jesus done these things? In the power of the Holy Spirit. So there was special light, powerful witness of truth. And there was an enormous personal insult against the Holy Spirit of God calling him the devil. Jesus said that can't be forgiven. So when you think of the unpardonable sin, that is the original unpardonable sin. No matter what you do with that, you get the picture. So how many people you know can do something like that? See? So Jesus said that kind of sin. Now, again, why would that sin be permanent? Why would it be an eternal sin? Why would it not be forgivable? All right? Got the question? All right? The answer has to come in the fact, can anyone or will anyone ever seek God and forgiveness without the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives? Will anybody be saved without the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives? Will that ever happen? Never. Never. When the Spirit of God has come, He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Okay? It is the Spirit of God who brings us to Christ. And without His work, we don't come to Christ. So, if the Holy Spirit has been insulted to that extent, how can they ever be saved? Because the Spirit of God is not going to draw them. They have, turn Him off. You understand what I'm saying? They have made impossible the work of the Spirit of God in their heart, and therefore there can be no forgiveness. It is an eternal sin. You get the picture? So it's more than just a strong rejection of the gospel, or a strong rejection of Christ, or a strong hatred of God. It's beyond that. It's looking the Messiah in the face. It's looking in the face these enormous miracles that He was doing. Remember when Lazarus was called out of the tomb? Lazarus, come forth! Remember when he came clothed head to foot and came walking out of that tomb? Was it Martha that said, why, he stinks? He's been in there 4 days. He already stinks. Take the stone away. Lazarus, come forth! And many were believing on him because they saw. And they knew nobody but God did stuff like that. Yeah? So they were convinced. But what were the Pharisees doing in the background? They were consulting among themselves to kill Lazarus because they didn't want people believing on Christ. That was the extent of their hatred of Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. He does this in the power of the devil. Okay? So, biblically, I don't know how you can out of the Gospels get any other definition than that out of this whole thing. And when you come to Hebrews, why he says there's no repentance for these people is because these were people who had been at Pentecost. They had witnessed the supernatural power of the Spirit of God, obviously and evidently before their very eyes. And the writer of Hebrews says, for people that do that, there's nothing left. There's nothing God can do to bring them in. There's no way their hearts can be reached. They've ultimately closed off God out of their lives. They've rejected the ultimate light and truth that God has put right in front of their faces. Nothing left for them. No more repentance. Can't be. Got it? So it's not a matter of losing your salvation. It's a matter of what you were doing with light, L-I-G-H-T, that is the truth shining into your eyes through the supernatural working of God right in front of your very eyes. It's an amazing thing. Okay? So the reason there is no forgiveness is because there's no potential or possibility that there will be any forgiveness sought. Because the work of the Spirit of God is forever put out of their lives. Okay. So we come to the last page. And there are two things that come out of this forgiveness that we personally experience. Number one is gratitude. Are you grateful that God has forgiven you? Are you grateful? Are you glad? You know, it's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. Wonderful thing to be forgiven. Are you glad? So we need to praise God. Why do we sing songs on Sunday? Just to sing songs? Just have a religious service, or because in our hearts we're absolutely delighted that God loves us, we're His, He's saved us, He's forgiven us. What are songs about? Why do you sing in the shower? Sing songs of praise to God because we're His. And then the second thing is a forgiving spirit toward others. A forgiving spirit toward others. I have often wondered how anyone who is genuinely saved, how much has God forgiven me and you? How much? Whoa. Whoa. You got any bad stuff He forgave you for? Now no hands on this. How many of you have got some real terrible stuff in your life for which God forgave you? Is there anybody here tonight that doesn't have some very terrible stuff for which God's forgiven you? Now if God's forgiven us that, how in the world can we deny forgiveness towards somebody else on the basis of how bad it is? Doesn't make sense, does it? And Jesus said a guy came along and he had need of forgiveness. He owed $1 million. And the guy said, all right. The banker says, all right, I'll forgive you. And then the guy that was just forgiven for $1 million debt went out and put his hands on the throat of a guy that owed him $100. He says, pay up or else. And he sent him to jail because he didn't pay his debt. What does that tell you? What does that say? And Jesus said that that kind of person, God will deliver over to the torturers. Now, anyone who fails to forgive another person is a tortured person. You should write that down. Anyone who fails to forgive another person is a tortured person. It doesn't hurt other people when you don't forgive them. It tortures you. You're tortured because there is something incongruous going on. There's something that's terribly out of place going on. God has forgiven you $1 million and you're choking somebody over $100? Huh? Huh? Yes or no? See? So I look at that thing and I say, look, God has forgiven me much more than that. I wonder how much grace God tolerates me with every day of which I am totally unaware. I just wonder. And then I see other people behave and I think, well, maybe I need to be like God. Huh? Maybe I need to be like God. And I need to forgive. Someone asked the question, I think, the first lesson, the first time we dealt with this, I think the question came up, what do you do when you decide in your heart to forgive somebody and the thing won't go away? It won't leave you. It won't leave you. And when someone does something and you decide, look, I'm going to dismiss this thing. And I'm not going to let it stand between me and them. And the thing keeps coming back, 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 back. And it's just like playing a broken record. You don't know what a broken record is. Most of you don't. Anybody here ever used a plastic record? Anyway, those records have grooves in them, and if the groove gets damaged a little bit, they go ba-rum, 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 ba-rum. It just keeps repeating itself. And until you turn the thing off, from now until eternity, it'll go ba-rum, 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 ba-rum. And that's the way you forgive somebody. Now, he did this bad, he did this bad, he did this bad, he did this bad, he did this, but I've forgiven him. He did this bad, I've forgiven him, I did this bad. So there are a couple of things. Let me tell you about this, and then we'll wrap this up. What do you do when this kind of thing happens? First of all, when you forgive something, one thing that I do, I always do, is I talk to the Lord, and I say, Lord, so-and-so did such-and-such, and I have forgiven them. And I'm asking you not to hold this against them. I'm asking God not to hold it against them. And I want you to bless them in spite of this. I want your blessing in the life of this person. Now, does God have to honor that prayer? Yeah. Okay. And then, if there's still something unresolved between us, I say, now look, God, however this thing is resolved, it's got to be on your terms. Not mine, not his or hers. Every issue in my life has got to be resolved not on my terms to my satisfaction, but to God's satisfaction. And however that is, that's what I want. Yeah? And then you have a spiritual warfare dimension to this whole thing. And I don't know if I shared this with you or not, but I will. And if I did before, you can listen a second time. There was a young fellow in this church, got to be 30 years ago, who said and did some things. A young man to whom I gave many, many hours of personal help and counsel, and whom the church helped and so on. And he went around and started saying things about me. I think some of it was in writing. And it didn't hurt me because everybody knew what kind of a pastor I was and they knew what kind of a guy he was. And not that he was a bad, ugly guy, but they all knew the lay of the land, and so I was okay. I was okay except for one thing. Everywhere I went, look at what he said about you. Look at what he said about you. And I said, look, I'm not going to hate the guy. Unforgiveness is a form of hatred. I'm not going to hate him. I will not hate him. And I will not hate him. I will not hold this can't stand. He is to be blessed of God. And that's how I dealt with it for months. And it didn't go away for months. And one day I was out in my exercise and praying, and this thing was just playing this record, ba-boom, 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 playing this record, and I just got angry. And I yelled out, nobody heard me because I was out in the middle of where I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever you are, you get out of here. You have no place in my life. I command you to leave. And do you know it stopped? It stopped. It was demonic. It stopped. It wasn't that I hadn't forgiven him. I had forgiven him. It wasn't that I was hating him, I didn't hate him. I refuse to hate him. I'm not going to be angry and hateful toward people. I won't live that way. But this come up, come up, come up, come up, come up. And it was a spiritual thing. It must have been 3 months I went through that. The thing just every time I'd go somewhere, I'd go, oh, what are you doing? This crazy thing is just like a broken record in my head. So that might help you. You may have to, and don't go out in the neighborhood where everybody can see you and do that. But the point is, you may have to get alone and just, you may have to, whatever voice you're able to use, say, now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to leave me. I am not yours. I will not do this. You go now and go forever. Get out of here. Wow. Wow. And so, Florence, your right is here. Okay. Okay. Did you find her purse? Well, you're going to have to get up and go out of the room and then get it resolved, please, because we can't hold a meeting yet. Okay, there you go. You have a good night now, Florence. Okay, she's going to make it. She's going to make it. So anyway, I hope you understand the way I talk with Florence at times. She just takes a firmer hand in things. And if you don't do it that way, you don't get anywhere. But we love her and appreciate her. She loves the Lord and she's a part of us. She's one of us. And I just want you to know that. That I love her and I value her. Even though I talk to her sometimes like I do. But I hope you'll all understand that. So forgiveness, very, very important. And if we have unforgiveness in our lives, we are tortured people. Yeah? This kazump, kazump, kazump. It wasn't because I didn't forgive the guy. It was because somebody was trying to just keep that thing alive, this bitterness alive in my life. This hatred, they wanted me to hate him. You got to hate this guy. You got to hate this guy. Look what he did to you, as if I was the center of the universe. I'm not. And so there are times you've got to deal with those things. They get very severe at times. And that's not often. I think that's the only time I can remember that kind of a situation. And that's a one-time experience that I can remember. But anyway, forgiveness is very, very important. Do you know you're forgiven? Do you know you're forgiven? And are you grateful? And when we confess our sins, sometimes we're forgiven. Always. If we confess our sins, He is what? What does the word faithful mean? He will not fail. Trustworthy. Faithful and just. Righteous. He's right to forgive us our sins, to dismiss them, disconnect them, and send them away. And to clean us, to cleanse us, to wash us, to scrub us from all unrighteousness. Let's stand together. Pray for a wonderful Lord's Day. Good to see you all. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord give us some great services this Lord's Day. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence with us here tonight. Thank you for helping us through the business part and then the Bible study. May the Spirit of God minister your word to our hearts. May we leave here with spiritual relief from guilt, all kinds of guilt. And may the accusations of the wicked one be destroyed out of our lives. May we bask in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who witnesses the truth of your word to our hearts, that indeed we are forgiven when we confess our sins. Encourage us, fill us new and fresh with the Spirit of God. Bless all of our people wherever they are tonight. May the hand of God be gloriously manifest in the lives of all of our people wherever they are, and especially through the remainder of this week. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.